We went out to the famous hangar, Hangar 84, where the alien bodies reportedly were taken, along with the crash evidence. Phyllis Galdi of Fate Magazine was with us, and let's welcome her to the show and talk to Phyllis about that incident. And I felt a special ambience as I looked out, and Dennis Balthizer was talking about the description and where the bodies were next to the hangar. I think Phyllis had some interesting reactions as well. Welcome to the show, Phyllis.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Now, before we get into some of the things you want to talk about, I want to talk about what we did yesterday. We went out to this hangar, and this is the hangar where supposedly the ETs were laid out. You and I talked a little bit about it while we were there. It was kind of a little reception, a little event, but you felt something. You're kind of psychic anyway.
Well, sometimes I get psychic impressions, yes, and I had come with a preconceived notion that it was just kind of a publicity place to take us, that it was kind of an open safe area to take the tourists. But so I was not expecting anything. In fact, I was like, nah, let's go out and have fun and have a glass of wine. And I got out of the bus, and I felt something. And then I walked up to the entryway. Before I even got in the hangar, I felt like I had been gut shot. It's like, wow. And then it seems like my psychic abilities get a little better after a glass of wine. I think it kind of slows down the left brain logical part of one's mind and allows one to open up. But anyway, I had some real distinct impressions after that. Ivan turned on the lights on that craft.
Now, yeah, tell me some of those impressions you got.
Okay.
You kind of flushed them out for us.
Sure.
You felt...
like I said, first I had this intense... impression of something there, and I get the same thing when I walk into a haunted building or a haunted room or house, like there's something going on there. But this was like, oh my God, I said, they're still here, they're monitoring this place still. I had a definite impression of alien life forces watching. I mean, maybe we're just, you know, we're just stupid humans. I think we are stupid humans much of the time, but I definitely felt that there were still watchers there, checking out to see what kind of progress we're making, what's going on, and maybe they're, I don't know, I don't think they have human emotions, I don't think they can be amused, but they were just watching.
Well, we've had you on before, and you've had psychic experiences in the haunted houses up in Minnesota.
Yes.
And other places, and you were really feeling something. That's what you wanted to talk about. And just the idea that these ETs... bodies may have been laid out over there on the side, up against the wall.
It was very creepy, very sad. And last year, I'll digress just a moment, we went out to the Hub Corn Ranch, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are skeptical if that's really the crash site. It could have been some debris out there. But when they took us out in the bus there, I felt tremendous sadness when we went over the mountains, the hills, and I don't know if that's Earth energy or Native American energy or aliens, but I don't know if we shot down the spaceship that crashed or if it was an accident, a thunderstorm, but I felt incredible feelings of sadness and...
In other words, there was some remorse going on mm-hmm. from somewhere.
Yes, definitely. There was not happy energy. Some places in the Earth...
Now, one of the people that are keeping us away from the Jeep and the tarpaulin-covered craft... I guess I used it in a movie or something at one time or another.
Right. I think, Close Encounters?
Yeah, right.
The Steven Spielberg movie.
He had an experience, and he talked to you about that. The son of somebody?
Oh, yes. Ivan was the gentleman who was in charge of turning on the lights on the machine. I don't want to say bubble machine, but no, it's a craft. Anyway... His father worked on the Foster Ranch as a ranch hand, and this was back in the 40s, 47, he was out checking the fence line on horseback because the fences are very, very long in those giant ranches, and he came up over the hill, and all of a sudden there were two military men there that had driven up on a adjoining road, and they said, stop. They detained him. They would not let the old guy well, he wasn't so old then, they would not let him go any further. And he just friendly, nice, but they just kept him there. Hey, you got to stop here and wait. And then he saw down in the kind of the valley down below all these military vehicles and men get out and were picking up shiny things and putting it in their in the trucks or vehicles, whatever they had. And then after a while, they drove off, and then the military men, okay, you're free to go on now.
Yeah, Phyllis, each time we see you at one of these events, you always run across some very interesting people.
I'm really lucky. Yes, I know. I'm supposed to do that.
You always have made contact with someone. Now, you've been to... Have you been out to the debris field?
No, no.
I haven't been there either.
No, the Hubcorn
but,
Field.
This is the first time I was out to the airport, actually.
Exactly, same here. And then the gentleman that was with us, we rode back with someone else, and he stopped at another area, and a soldier had told him that wasn't the right hangar, that 84 was not the proper hangar, that there was where they took the aliens was the next one over, and we stopped where this mound of dirt was, and I got out and walked around, and I definitely felt some sadness and
but you felt this was the right hangar.
Yes. In fact, I talked to Ivan again today, and he says, no, absolutely, that's the one. Because he remembers, I mean, the water tower was there, and he said there's an east-west road that accesses that hangar, and when the military vehicles came in, they had to have a way to get to that hangar. So that was the best and easiest road to get to that.
Did they say how many ET bodies were there? Did Ivan say?
No, he did not have any information about that. The only thing that he knew was that his dad was detained from, and his dad never told him all these years. He died just a few years ago, and when he got older, he said that, and he didn't think anything of it at the time, because Ivan said his dad didn't really believe in UFOs or ETs or didn't know anything about them, didn't care. Back then, you obeyed what the military told you to do. If they said, stop, you respected that. You respected the law. You respected your parents, military, the clergy. And so it's different from it is now, that we're a little more confrontational when we're told to do something. So he didn't even question it. He just thought, well, they're picking up something. He didn't know what it was. Maybe it was a whatever.
Right, right.
Just normal
they,
debris.
They said, don't do it. Go any further. Don't
yep,
do it.
Yep, totally.
What's happening with Fate Magazine and with Phyllis Galdi?
Well, I just had a kind of exciting time. I was invited out to the Disney Studios in Burbank, California. They are remaking the Witch Mountain movie. It's, remember in the 70s, they did the Race to Witch Mountain?
Yes.
No, Escape to Witch Mountain and then Return to Witch Mountain, where mm-hmm. these kids were basically from outer space, and they had this adventure trying to evade this mean man who was trying to use their telepathic powers. Well, they're remaking the movie, and they're calling it Race to Witch Mountain. The kids are now teenagers, and they've come back to Earth for doing something, getting something. I don't even understand the whole storyline. But in the movie, they had a fake UFO conference as one of the sets on the new Witch Mountain movie, and Fate Magazine was featured in the set, so we were pretty excited about that. But then after that, I was able to go out there and go on the set when they were doing actual live filming. And I got to interview Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
And are you going to do that for Fate Magazine?
Yes.
Has it already been published, or is it?
No. This the movie is coming out in March, so we will be featuring, of course, our article in that. But it was quite an honor to be invited to Disney. And
sure it was.
And,
sure it was.
And it was neat because the studio, the number two studio, is the largest one on the Disney set, and it's where they filmed Mary Poppins. It's just was kind of like a part of history or nostalgia, and Pirates of the Caribbean was filmed there, and it looks like a big old airplane hangar. That's basically what it looks like. And then I guess underneath the ground there's a swimming pool, and it looks like a big concrete floor, but in sections, and they can roll the floor back, so if they needed swimming
so
for
you
water,
need water you,
probably
you
like
got
the
it, huh?
Pirates of the Caribbean or ocean, they were really right, on the ocean, they were probably right there just making waves and that. So that was kind of, it's incredible what they can do with the backdrops.
And that's on the Warner lot at Burbank.
Disney,
okay.
Yep.
I think they're close to each other anyway.
Yep, they're all pretty close. And then the next thing, I guess that's news in Fate, is that we are going bi-monthly. Fate has been on and off monthly and bi-monthly, mostly monthly, but we have decided that with the postage and printing, it's really difficult to make it work. So we're going, and besides, it's more green. So we're going bi-monthly. We're adding more pages to the magazine, so there'll be more to read.
Uh-huh.
It'll be pretty much the same amount of reading material. It just comes every other month. So we're going more green then.
And we are, when will that happen?
With the July-August issue, okay. Which is
right now.
At the printer right now. Then we will be celebrating our 700th issue.
700 issues.
Yep, in September, October.
Fantastic. What's going to be in that issue? Are you still putting it together?
Yes. Of course, that'll be a secret. But we have a really cool cover plan for it.
Just trying to get a little
evidence going out there.
Little exclusive. You don't hold it against me, do you, fellas?
No, you can ask any questions.
What's happening with Galdi Press?
Many, many more books than I have time to even get published. We're just like, you know, I feel like a hamster on a running around on those circle things, just getting all the books done. We've just got many books in different genres coming out. More UFO books.
Good.
Let's see. Jim Dorder was like a fire ranger. Uh-huh. He lived in those towers for I don't know how many years. And in the summertime, they actually lived in these primitive things way up high to watch for forest fires. And over the years, he's collected many stories of craft that people have seen. He was down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, a few years ago and gave a presentation. But it's just amazing. Of course, all the fire rangers, they don't want their names divulged because they figure it will detract from their credibility as rangers. But so many of them have had stories of sightings because they're out there hour after hour, day after day in all kinds of weather. And it was just amazing all the different sizes and shapes of craft that they saw. And there's a lot.
All in that one area?
All over the United States.
Okay,
All over the eastern.
The
eastern United States. Western United States. So we'll have drawings and illustrations of all of those.
Oh, great.
But it's just mind-blowing. Some look like cigars. Some look like long tubes and different sizes, shapes, colors. And it's just...
You going to... be at another conference pretty soon. I don't know how you have time to come to all these conferences. You're so busy.
I enjoy it. It's good to get away from everything. I like to.
It's a good vacation.
Sure, right? It is.
We met you at the Crash Retrieval Conference. Eureka Springs is one of your favorites.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to be making a presentation at the Vortex Conference in Wisconsin.
Really?
In Halloween.
Oh.
It's at October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd.
Where is that held at?
It's held in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Oh,
not
yes.
Not far from you.
Right.
I'll send you some information about it.
Okay. If it's not blizzarding, maybe I'll go.
Yeah, you're very close. Yeah, you need to come and see me. No, that's okay. We're going to be filming the presentation.
Okay.
Put it on our website, too.
Oh, that'd be
so
fun.
You don't have to show
up.
That'd
be fun to go there.
Talk about UFO stories I've covered in 45 years.
Well, you certainly have a lot of them. You should write a book and let us publish it.
Yeah. Hey, we got a recording. She just made a deal.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I don't know when I'm going to have time to write a book, though. But I need to. Larry writes them all the time.
Yes, yes, you should.
I've enjoyed it, Phyllis. And Fate Magazine, you got a great website. It's called?
www.fatemag.com, FATEMAG.com. Or if you just Google in, type in Fate Magazine, it'll take you to our website.
And you just because it's bi-monthly doesn't mean you're going to get short on any pages. Probably going to be a little better because you have more time to put them together.
Hey, that's what we thought. We can do more in-depth research on our articles. And our website is being enhanced, too. We're having more articles that will be strictly on our website.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Phyllis Galdi, Fate Magazine. I'm Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from Roswell, New Mexico. Why visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona? Marv Mason knows why.
Mainly because the Grand Canyon is known as one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
No one gives a more personalized tour or knows more about the Grand Canyon than Marvelous Marv.
My main thing is education on the geology because the Grand Canyon is a life record. It shows us where we were at one time on the planet with the continental drift and all the layers that were laid down by sediments and then how the canyon was carved. And of course the views, you know, a picture doesn't do it justice. But it's nice to have somebody there tell you about it that's lived there.
It's the best way to tour the Grand Canyon. Marv picks you up in a modern van at your hotel in the Grand Canyon area and takes you on a day-long tour. Contact Marvelous Marv Vacation Tours. Call and talk to him personally, 928 707-0291 or visit his website.
MarvelousMarv.com. Real easy, real easy.